Welcome to Enneagram with JB, a podcast about Enneagram personalities, where you'll uncover and discover more about yourself and others through the helpful tool of the Enneagram. I'm your host, Julie Underwood. Hey friends, today I'm talking with Marty Munger, the CEO of Work Coach. Work Coach's mission is to help individuals and teams understand the value they bring to work by helping them understand their unique assets and liabilities in the workplace. Marty, along with two other amazing Enneagram coaches, came together and created an assessment that helps you understand your strengths in the workplace. Welcome, Marty.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. I really am excited about this conversation we're going to have today about the workplace. I think a lot of people are always curious around, like, how do I use this information in the workplace? And then how do I not weaponize this information in the workplace, right? Because once you know, it's hard not to see what you know. So, okay, before we jump in, can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure. Yeah.
Where do you currently reside?
I am currently in Austin, Texas.
So I've been to Austin. People often say Austin and Nashville have like a similar vibe. There is a similarity there.
Yes. I am originally from Birmingham, Alabama, and I love Nashville. And when I first moved here, I was like, man, I kind of get the food scene of Nashville kind of, but more with like the Tex-Mex flair. But yeah, I can see that same energy.
Okay. Are you a dog or a cat person?
I'm a cat person. I've got two kitty cats and I love them an unhealthy amount.
I have a dog. I love my dog. I don't know that I'm going to get another dog, but I love the dog I have. That's how I feel about the animals. But maybe it's because I have so many kids. Like if I didn't have so many kids, maybe there'd be room in my heart for more furry friends. But I see my parents, all my parents and then my in-laws and their animals. I'm like, I just don't understand. And they're like, you will one day, girl, you will. I'm like, I don't know that I want to, not at that level.
One of them came from my husband and then one just showed up. So sometimes life just gives it to you.
Okay. If you could pick any U.S. city to visit in the next week, where would you go?
Okay, I think I'd probably go to Charleston. That's been on our list for a while. I've only been once and it was years ago. And so it's on our list. I want to go back. I want to just see the pretty water and eat all the good food.
Sweet Southern. Okay, where do you want to live?
I want to live in Pensacola, Florida. That's like the long-term dream. I want to live at the beach so bad.
Okay, what, for the most important question, right, for this audience, is what's your Enneagram type?
Yes, I am a type 7.
Okay. Do you know your wing?
6. Strong 6.
Okay. So 7 with a 6 wing. I'm a 7 with an 8 wing. And there are some definite differences between the energy between the 7, 6, 7, 8.
Yes. In my eyes, maybe because it's only the like, I don't want to say the unhealthy, but I feel like there's so much more like anxious mental energy going on or just like nervousness that's just... it's just there. It's present. And more of like the washer machine thinking can come in.
I feel like for the 7-8, there's a lot of power, which I say that carefully, you guys, because, you know, talking about myself. So you're kind of like, well, let me tell you all about me and my bad stuff. But the 7 with the 8, there is a lot of like charge ahead power, energy. You know, you've got that visionary and big picture. So it's like, yeah, I got to tell myself, put your feet on the ground, girlfriend, if you want to get things done. So I'm excited about our conversation today, partly to break the stereotype of the 7s for us, and also just to hear your thoughts on the workplace, the Enneagram in the workplace. But, you know, everyone thinks that the 7 is the life of the party, and maybe we are. But, you know, there's also that other part that people think that we don't take life seriously enough or that we don't finish what we start. Or, you know, there's a lot of those labels that happen, which across the board with the Enneagram types, there's always these labels. And I always say, hey, we're not label makers. That's not what we do with the Enneagram. We're here to help you see the box that you're in, and then how do you get out of it for growth? And so with that, what did you have to harness to be able to accomplish what you've accomplished?
I want to say the commitment, it's consistency. Consistency is probably the thing that I probably struggle the most with, and consistency to taking time to do things. Like when I do something, I'm like, okay, the very first time, maybe I really take my time and I try to do something with quality. But then once I do it once, I want to just rapid fire it out and keep moving. So it's consistency to detail. That is my, it's still every day. I still struggle with it. It's not something I've mastered, but I know it's the thing that can kick my feet out from under me. Like when I miss details or I don't read something right, or I don't take the time to put effort into something to present quality, that's what gets me. And then I end up wasting time. So yeah, consistency to detail is my struggle and what I've learned that I have to do in order to make sure things are successful.
100%. I mean, I would line right up with that one. What was the turning point for me was taking my life seriously and taking my life's work seriously. And, you know, my husband and I both own our own businesses. And so we have, you know, people that help us out or work for us, whatever, I don't know how you say that. And in that, we both very much understand that nobody's going to be as passionate about what we do as us. And so if we are not passionate, then our team is going to flounder because they're never going to be as passionate as we are about what we're trying to do. And so that consistency, that, you know, the social media presence, I think that's what a lot of people think I just do is social media. And I'm like, I don't, I actually have a thriving coaching practice and I write books and all kinds of other things that I do. But with that, the first step was consistency. I started putting stuff out 3 times a week and I was like, okay, well there's movement there. And then 5 times a week. And I was like, okay, there's more traction there. Then 7 times a week and then multiples and then building. But what I had to do was I had to build the infrastructure for me to be able to function in it. And so for you, has that been one of the things that you had to learn about yourself, is that there has to be systems? We can't fly by the seat of our pants, even though we can as sevens, but we shouldn't.
I think I'm learning that right now because we are still like, I've only really been putting things out there for my coaching business a little over a year. And then we're, you know, this is our first year putting Work Coach out there. And so we're living that, okay, we have to start making the content, putting it out all the time. And right now I feel like I'm in a place where I'm very sporadic. It's just like here and there a few times a week, but I know like we want to get to that point where there is that system of, okay, whatever it is, whether it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or 5 times a week, like it's that we are in the murky water of, like, we are trying to figure out what is that system? How do we make it better? How do we stick to it? Because we know that you have to do that to get the results. And it's our least favorite part. Like, I don't love posting all the time. Like, it's fun every now and then, but all the time gets so draining. But I know if you don't have that presence, like, people can't find you and you don't stay relevant. So it's hard. Like, we're learning the systems are such a priority right now.
It's the make or break for me. That's what I'll say for me and my business and my husband as well. He works in the music business. It's make or break. If we don't have systems, things are falling through the crack. And I don't want to do it all the time, you guys. Like, I don't want to, but I write a lot of content like I'll take a day and write content for the month. And I have people that help me post it. I do have help today. I didn't at the beginning. And so it was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm trying to build this business, but the social media thing is, you know, kicking my butt. But it was those systems. And as an Enneagram 7, it was one of those things I had to learn. Like, I had to be disciplined. And then even into email blasts and all the different things that you have to do to function well within an organization. But everything that I would throw out there, that I'd have to kind of go back and like build a system that was sustainable, or I would forget what I was doing. And then my team would be like, I don't know, I thought we were, but then you didn't. And I'm like, oh, I have to do it. So I'm just, you know, for any sevens out there, like we both feel the pain of consistency with you and like the desire to not be consistent.
Yeah. Because sometimes you want to give yourself this permission of like, oh, I just got a new idea. Why don't we try that? Oh, this would be really cool. Why don't we do that? And you're like, well, I'm still doing. So it's like, okay, I'm doing something, so it's, I'm not doing anything wrong. But it's when you deviate from the consistency that you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
No, even today, as I was getting ready, I had this idea of just a offering I want to give to my listeners and followers. And but I already have planned out for the next couple months, so there, I can't just do it, you know, which then causes me to slow down and make a better product. Because if I can't do it, like just put it out there and let's go, then I've got to sit with it. And what should it really be? You know what I mean? Like, what should it really be? Should it just be this like, here's this, you know, offering. My husband says, he has said this to me forever. He's really good at marketing. Sometimes I listen and sometimes I don't, you guys. It's really, you know, it's kind of like we're both assertive and push against and want to do our own things. But he always says in the marketing space, it's like three gives to one ask. That's a good rule of thumb, like three gives to one ask. And so when I have built, and I don't ask nearly enough at all. So I give a lot. I'm like, here you go. Just take it. Just take everything, everybody. Just take it. And everybody's like, stop it. Stop it. You're building a business. And I'm like, oh, am I? I really just want to help people. But so I get all caught up. But let's shift this conversation a little bit over to this assessment, because I think that when I took the assessment that you guys offer, this let me just give everything makes a lot of sense to that assessment, right? Okay, so tell us about the assessment.
Yeah, so we call it our work intelligence assessment. And so it's a pretty lengthy assessment. It takes about 20-ish minutes, maybe less if you're just kind of rapidly going through it. But our goal behind it was to really show people that you do use all three intelligence centers. So you use your head intelligence center, your heart intelligence, and your gut intelligence. So if you take it in your results, you will see your IQ, your EQ, your emotional intelligence, and your GQ, your gut intelligence, and your assets and your liabilities in each of those. And so I know a lot of your listeners are probably really familiar with the Enneagram. So you know, like, okay, I'm a seven, I'm typically in my head center, but then you have two other centers that, you know, you might use the second, but one might be really repressed. So you could be someone that's really strong in your head space, really strong in your gut body space, but maybe not have as much access to the heart space. And that can really affect you at work. So our goal with this was to show you your assets and your liabilities in each of those centers specific to work.
It's so good. So I took the test. You know, I was curious as a coach, you know, you're kind of like, huh, okay. I don't know Marty. She's new to me. And so, you know, but I'm always curious and I love to learn from all the people that are doing great things. And Marty, I have to say that you guys are doing great things. This is really great. It really is. Yeah. I was so impressed by the test. And as I'm going through it, you know, I know a lot about the Enneagram. So I was trying to answer the test honestly. So it did take me probably 20 minutes because I had to sit with it. Like, what is true? Like, I know what I would answer, but is it true? You know, and I didn't want to sway the test or anything like that. So I really sat with it. And as I got the results, I was like, this is so fascinating because it gave me the results of the two, the seven, and the nine. So you've got the two in the heart, the seven in the head, and the nine in the gut. That's also that positive outlook grouping that I talk about all the time. So you share with us what that means. So if I'm in the 2, 7, 9, I think that you also might be. Yes. So yes. Yeah, share with us. Yeah.
Oh, I also want to say there are 27 different results you can get. And yes, you and I got the exact same one, which I thought was just really funny. I was like, of course. And so you can be 7, 9, 2. That's my order of the processing. Like I start in my head, then I go to 9, then I go to 2. But you can be 9, 2, 7. You can be 2, 7, 9. You can be 2, you know, any combination of that. And that's going to show up differently. You know, like if I'm a 7, 9, 2, my 9 is going to change the way my 7 looks just a little bit. Like I'm going to look different from a 7, 8, 3, you know, it's going to look really different. And I think specifically, so the 7, 9, 2 is called the optimistic mediator, which I think makes a lot of sense being in that harmonic triad, you know, this is the type that I think probably of the most probably hates like conflict or negativity or, you know, discomfort and pain probably the most. It's probably the type that's like, okay, if there's an issue, we need to like solve it, get it fixed, get it away. We need to be happy. We need things to be good again, you know. And they're really good with, you know, obviously bringing in new ideas, but also, you know, really connecting with people. They've got that, you know, that 9 and 2 component. And I think you said right before getting on the call, like you really love coaching because you get really deep with people. And I think that's what allows that, you know, that 7 to go deeper with people and have that relational component. Whereas maybe like a 7, let's see, a 7, 8, maybe 3 might be a little bit less people-y, you know, not that they can't, but it's going to look different.
Yeah. Yeah. It would probably be more projects, more movement around the actual big idea, getting it done. You know, and I have to say, like, I have done years and years of work. So between therapy, trainings, and coaching, just being holding space for other people's stories, that does soften me as a 7. I don't like the lower emotions. Like, I'm working on a big project right now that is about, it's personal. And I'm like, oh, I cannot believe that I'm writing about this and exposing it. But I also, as I'm doing it, I'm feeling it. And I am not shying away from it like I used to. And that's huge. You know, for a lot of us in the head space, we don't want to go to the heart space. We don't want to go to the heart space. You know, it hasn't served us well. Like, we don't want to go there. You know, but even if you're in the heart space, it doesn't mean that that's that you feel like when I first started teaching the Enneagram, I taught it wrong. So I'm sorry for anybody that heard me teach about triads at the beginning, because I didn't fully understand it until I researched and really understood, no, there's a knot. So you're not functioning from the healthiest in that triad. It's knotted, and you've got to unknot that triad. And so the depth of information, so that 2, you know, in the feelings, it gets knotted with the gut, you know, and then the thinking comes on board at the, you know, maybe it does, or maybe it doesn't, you know, and then the 9 in the gut, it suppresses a lot. So it makes a lot of sense. But that, tell us, so you take this information, 27 different testings, like you can come up 27, what are they going to do with this test within their organizations? What's the benefit of this?
Absolutely. So honestly, just like what you just said, you know, we tend to be stuck in one of these centers. And once you're able to see, okay, here's how I operate well in these 3 centers, here's how I don't operate well, we can help you figure out, okay, here's how you use this in communication. Here's how you use this in conflict resolution. Here's how you like to, you know, make decisions. Here's how you're naturally going to problem solve. So this is what we do through coaching and through our different master labs, is taking this information and showing you, okay, here's how you're uniquely wired, and here's how you set yourself up for success when you are in a tough situation, or if you are on a project, if you are, you know, dealing with something difficult at work, so you know yourself. But then the more you dive into these strategies, you're going to realize, okay, I communicate so much different from my boss. Maybe my boss is, you know, not in the harmonic triad at all and very direct and learning, okay, here's how I like to be communicated with, but how can I be more aware of the other people that I work with, and how can I adapt in ways to make sure that I'm effectively communicating maybe a little bit to them, even if I don't know what they are, but when I know what I am and I can see that someone's different, I can kind of bend and flow to that.
It's beautiful. It's the offering of the Enneagram, which is empathy, which leads to attunement, right? So we become very much less us focused, and we become much more aware that there's other people, and how they function is different than how we function. And they're not right or wrong. We all get to take up space. We all get to be unique in who we are and who we've been created to be. And our temperaments, you know, I teach the Enneagram. I don't know how you teach it, but I teach it where it's nature and nurture. It's both parts. So the nature part of this is the temperament. The temperament is God-given. Change. Your temperament does not change. So we're not trying to change people. Okay. But the nurture part, that's how your temperament, then you went into family units and then how your patterns of behavior begin to get developed as early as the age of two around how do I get love, how do I get my needs met, and how do I keep myself safe. When you begin to understand this about yourself, that is the self-awareness that the Enneagram offers. And that's what Marty and I and the people that work with her, that's we all offer that as coaches. We offer an opportunity to explore the why behind the behaviors. So your Enneagram is not who you are. It's just a group of behavior patterns that describe what you're doing. And then the work is getting below the surface to find out the motivation. And then why are you acting like that? So this assessment is so helpful because it gives self-awareness, and then it prompts you to acknowledge the role you're playing in your own life. Okay. In your own story, in your own job. How are you responding? How are you taking in information? Right. And then it allows you to adjust those things when you open your eyes up to see the people around you. They're different than you. And so the offering is beautiful. It's an empathetic offering of attunement in the workplace. And I just love it. So it's really, really cool. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Tell us a little bit about success stories. Do you have a success story?
So we have recently done a team training for a medical group, and it was just really cool to see. It was funny. There were so many assertive types in there, different combination of assertive personalities. And I think it really opened their eyes to see like, okay, oh, and let me preface. It was like they were in a new position. So this was their first time in this type of role that they were in. So that's why the team wanted to get together and kind of learn each other, learn, you know, okay, your strengths and weaknesses. And it was really cool because there were, I mean, 20 people in this room, a lot were assertive, but some weren't. And it was really cool for them to see, oh, this is what Sally is really, really good at. And then this is what Jane is terrible at, but they could kind of connect with each other. And across the room, they'd be like, oh, if I'm in this situation, I'm calling Sally. And if Sally was like, oh, I'm in this situation, I'm calling Jane, because they had, you know, strengths what the other needed. And it was nice for them to all see, okay, this is where all of my assets are. These are where my liabilities are. And I think it just opened their eyes to go, okay, no one's trying to change me. Like you said, no one's trying to change me, but I can now adapt a little bit easier, and I can rely on my friends. You know, I can rely on my coworkers to help me solve some of these problems, which only then builds teamwork and builds trust. And so that was really cool. It was cool to see that.
That is so cool. Okay. I am so thankful that we had this conversation today. And I know that you have some offerings that you'd love to put out there to the audience. Would you share what those offerings are? And then you guys will link them in the show notes so that you guys have access to them. But will you share that?
Yes, absolutely. So I was just so excited to get on your podcast today. And if you are someone that follows JB, subscribes to JB, just loves her content, we are offering a special deal. So if you go to workcoach.co/JB, you can get one free coaching session with us. So you take the assessment and then we'll break down your results and, you know, kind of go from there. So you at least get one thing free, which is fun. And, you know, you can kind of test the waters before, you know, committing to anything as a seven, you know, that speaks to me.
But me too. And,
yeah. Yes. And then you can go into our website from there and you'll see we've got like one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as different team coaching as well. So yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And I can't wait to watch all that you do in the Enneagram space and the workspace. I really, really want to encourage you guys that you've created a great product. And so, you know, I think you guys are going to help so many people. So thank you again for all the work.
And thank you for joining us today. Join us next time as we continue our conversation about the Enneagram and what it means for your relationships. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're there, we'd love for you to leave a review. Your kind words help others find the show. For more great Enneagram content, resources, and individual coaching, you can visit enneagramwithjb.com. We'll see you next time on Enneagram with JB.